He was life and soul of the party. Well, he's an ex-rugby player, which probably says it all. Very outgoing. He was good at his job, but he worked hard and played hard. He was just a great bloke, really.
What were your retirement plans? Maybe you were too young to make any serious plans, but did you have a thought about what you would do when the kids had flown the nest?
Not really, no. I mean, we had these, fantasy dreams that we thought we would do,
Dad
but
really wanted to go to South Africa, I think, but more for the rugby
that's
than the
right.
retirement or spending time with Mum, I think.
So you probably weren't invited, Jane, were you?
No, I don't think I was, but no, it had been mentioned.
Lauren, what about you? What was he like as a dad before the stroke?
Much the same as Mum just said, incredibly loud and embarrassing. Typical ex-rugby player in that respect.
Tell me your most embarrassing dad story.
Oh, it involved him drinking a lot of beer and a lot of music and a lot of losing clothes. So,
Okay.
I'll let you imagine that.
Say no more.
He was just really hands-on. He wasn't particularly strict. He let me and Beth make our own mistakes, but sort of while watching from a safe distance. He was really fun. He was quite a cool dad. We were never embarrassed about bringing our, well, I say embarrassed, we never minded bringing our friends home and stuff to hang out around ours. So, yeah, it was great.
How would you describe him now?
The complete opposite to what he was. I think so much of the person he was, he expressed through doing things and saying things. And obviously now he can't do or say anything. It's like that person isn't there anymore.
Yeah, people have said, is he depressed? And he's not depressed. He's just desperately unhappy.
And it's circumstantial as well. So unless you can change his circumstances, unless, he can get up tomorrow and walk and talk, that won't change. And obviously he's not going to be able to do that.
What's it like being around Jane, your partner, when he is terribly unhappy all the time?
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, it certainly rubs off on you. Seeing him so unhappy makes me unhappy. It's very difficult, I mean, my whole role has changed. I've gone from just being his wife to being his carer. It's all about him now, but I mean, that's just the way it's got to be.
I suppose the other option would be putting him in some sort of state home, which,
no, there's no way we'd do that.
no, it's
Why
just
not?
incomprehensible.
Why
Well,
not?
I think I'd rather die first than do that. There's no way I could put him into a care home or anything. He's at home. He's got his things around him. I know what he wants, when he wants it, how he wants it. It's the best thing for him.
Are there times when he's a burden?
That's just a difficult one. I suppose you can't deny. Yes, I suppose he is, but that just comes with his condition.
When is it most burdensome?
I suppose the worst thing is always having to plan life so far in advance because you've always got to arrange for carers to come in.
Lauren, what about you?
Mum and Dad have made it very clear that our day-to-day lives aren't to be impacted, and to an, really they aren't. The times when it when things are impacted is it's the milestones and stuff that Beth and I and Dad miss. The graduations and the car buying and the boyfriend interrogations and the lectures about credit cards, God forbid, all those sort of things. But on a day-to-day basis, Beth and I, our focus is making sure that we do as Mum and Dad ask and that we get on with our lives and, we try and be as happy as we can be.
What about Tony taking to Twitter, which he's done of late? I was reading one of his tweets today. I was a smoker before the stroke, but not now. The things people will do to quit.
Yeah, that's Tony. This is so This tweeting has been quite good because the old Tony is sort of coming out in some of these tweets. That's the kind of thing he would say. I mean, he had a wicked sense of humour. It's his sense of humour is very deep now. It comes out every now and again, but the old Tony is in there, and it's good to see it coming out with these tweets, really.
How much do you talk about his death with him, Jane?
Not really an awful lot. It's sort of done through talking about the court case. I suppose in a way we've become a little bit matter of fact about it, and I think I have been criticised for being very blunt and saying that, Tony wants to be killed, which at the end of the day it is what it is. But we've sort of become used to it. We've been living with the thought of his death for 7 years. And it doesn't mean that when the time comes it will be any easier, but it becomes easier to talk about. And but we don't really talk about it to each other.
I was struck by an email that Tony sent to the court, in which he said, I have no doubt that the judges have heard it all before, but I simply wanted to get it off my chest. Can you tell me a bit about that email?
He just wanted to have his little say, I think, at the beginning.
I think in many ways the fact that he wanted to reiterate his points again and again and again just proves how determined he is and how much he wants this as well.
In the context of his condition and the law, what would constitute a good death for him?
He says that in an ideal world, what he would like is for me to give him a sedative so that he goes to sleep, and then for a doctor to come and give him a lethal injection of something so that I didn't have to live with the thought that it was me that killed him.
And he wants all this done at home, in his room, around, you know, surrounded by the people that he loves, where he feels safe and comfortable.
Could you kill him, Jane?
I don't know. I've been asked that lots of times. I would like to think that I could, because I know that it's what he wants so much. You know, in a former life, I was a nurse, so I, you know a little bit about these things. I think I could, yeah.
And Jane, do you have a time scale in mind? Obviously, there are so many imponderables here and things you have no control over. We have this case and possibly ultimately a change in the law, all of which takes time. Do you have in your mind how long you're prepared to wait, as it were?
I wait as long as I have to. I mean, you know, I would like it for him to forget the whole thing, but I mean, I know he won't. So I just, you know, just hang on and, you know, it's him, it's up to him, it's his life. He must do what he wants to do and when it's right for him.
Have you given up arguing with him? Did he used to argue about this?
Not really. We went through all the, you know, trying to talk him out of it. It was a complete waste of time, but we knew it would be. I mean, from the day that I went to the intensive care unit in Athens for the first time and I was told what the prognosis was, I knew then that the time would come when he would ask, you know, to look into it and see how it could be done, because I knew that he wouldn't want to live like this.
But you still want to grow old with him?
I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, everyone in a happy marriage wants to grow old with their husband, but it's probably not going to be so.